what's going on, folks. It's the you already know what it is. You saw the title. You're here to listen.
It's
to
the
it.
Goddamn show, Worm it's Nation. The, we're back in it.
It's
we're
the same shit, the shit as it is every time. Okay, there's not. It's not. You know what it is by now. We've done. Yep. There's several.
It's us. And guess what? There's a band here. Surprise, surprise. We've got Hoity Toity in the studio with us today. How's
welcome,
it going?
Welcome, welcome.
Hello.
What's poppin'?
It's amazing. How are you?
It's good to be here in this high-end studio room physically next to you. No, sitting across from you with microphones in front of our faces.
Yep.
Expensive microphones. Yeah.
Yep. Our producer that just kind of wanders in whenever he feels. Absolutely. I know exactly what you mean.
Multiple camera angles even.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. No, this is high class.
Yep, exactly. We are in the studio next to Joe Rogan's at the Spotify studios. We're like, we share a wall, which is...
Or at least a bald guy. We don't know for sure.
Yeah. We get Jamie sometimes on the weekend, but it's he just Keelan mostly.
But anyway, so this episode sort of came together the way that most of these things do. We've been mutuals on Twitter for a little while, which who knows how long that's going to last as far as, you know, Twitter existing.
Yeah.
Or unfollowing us after the show. Who knows?
Yeah, but, I don't know. So this we talked about it. This episode is going to be dropping like mid-December. Who knows if Twitter is up and running still by that point? This could
Let's
be
place
all...
our bets. Let's place our bets. I'm going to bet that it still exists and is under new management by then. I don't think Elon will still be in charge by December.
No, no. I mean, he's been
upfront
about
Twitter will still be around.
Trying to get out, I think, is like acting, which is, I don't know.
They're going to find him in a ditch.
Oh, God willing, huh? God willing.
A bunch of little bird footprints everywhere.
I didn't know, and I wasn't involved.
Exactly. Right. Just for clarification purposes, I'm not planning on doing anything. I just hope that it happens. I'll just leave it at that. But. Before we get super duper into it, I do want to start. I'm going to do the annoying interviewing thing. We got a lot of cooks in the kitchen, as it were. A lot of friends tonight. If we could, I just kind of want to run down quickly names, what you do in the band. That way everybody can kind of get accustomed to voices, who's talking what from where.
Jacob, I don't think we even introduced ourselves.
They know us. The band doesn't know us. I get that.
I know you.
Well, I agree that.
I'm Robin.
I don't know who you
are. No, I agree that they probably don't know us, but that's not important, is my point. That's the least important part.
We're not important.
All right, that's fine.
Tana, you start, because you're the only one not in the room.
All right, I'm Tana. I play bass, and that's about it.
I'm Tara, and I play drums.
Shelby. And I sing, and I play the keyboard.
I'm Aria, and I do the rest.
Hell yeah. Now, when you say rest, does that include... I've seen, if I'm not mistaken, I've seen on a bunch of TikToks. I know that you run that. Is that also the Twitter management? Like, where are we at social-wise?
Yes, who's all of it.
That's me. Brain dumps am I seeing on the timeline?
Aria's really good at the social media side of things.
Very nice. Very nice.
She does her thing.
Yeah. I'm the one who knows who anybody on the East Coast is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What do you do?
This mostly.
mostly this.
How's that going for you?
I mean, not great.
It's going. I'd say it's going fine so far. Could be worse. It could certainly be better. It is what it is.
Yeah, it hasn't quite become like a money sink yet, but like a couple more purchases in the podcast will just be like completely in the red.
Yeah.
100%.
Frankly, we've
really
never been in the black.
$10,000 to be here tonight.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, Jacob, did you say 10 in the contract? I thought.
I think there was some creative use of zeros and commas and decimal points. As far as that was going, but we'll have to circle back on that. I don't know if I signed anything, but
we have a lawyer too. So
Keelan's not here. So
hey, you have our bowl of M&Ms with no brown ones.
Yes. And I have a bowl of brown ones sitting next to me actually.
Yeah. We can't have any brown ones because Shelby's allergic to chocolate. So
yeah, that's true. That's really smart.
Jacob, I think it might be time for us to do our first little segment here. What do you think?
I think that probably sounds good. Let's roll into our first segment, which I will simply play the theme song for right now. Don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now.
ounce, I make money move. If I see you now, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss to a worker, bitch. I make bloody move. Now she say.
Where it's money moves.
Money
moves.
This
is the part. This is the part of the show where we go over kind of what's going on in your world. This is the business part of the show.
Yeah,
this
we're
is
talking the, business.
The interview part of the show. So I think a great place to start is going to be that y'all just recently dropped a song and music video called Playing the Game. No. Big fans of that. I think it's just like very like slickly produced, good old rock and roll.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that. Aria on TikTok, I saw you describe it as 2015, but also 2005 and 1995 and 1985 and 1975 all rolled into one, but still also the future 2025 at the same time.
Damn.
So can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Yeah,
how you managed to achieve that vibe? Fire. Like,
well, because like, the fucking, like, I don't know, the vibe of the song, it's like, you know, it's like an alternative rock song, but it's like got that like dancey energy. So that reminds me of like mid 90s, like dance rock type stuff, like Republica. Sure. But then like the bridge, when I wrote the bridge part, I like imagined it, honestly, I imagined it as like a horn thing, but like on guitar and keyboards, like doubling. Yeah. Yeah, that's totally, that's, but that's like totally like mid 70s, like classic, like disco with the. You know,
yeah.
And like the drums on the second verse, there's like a little like subtle like 80s-ish gated snare thing going on, and there's like all the synths and like which kind of like it kind of reminds me of like Walk the Moon, but it also kind of reminds me of like, I don't know, it's just like all these different influences.
Sure.
And vibes and whatever. And like, I mean, I make music because of like, you good, Shelby?
Yeah.
She's allergic to me talking. Yeah. But like, I'd fucking make music because of like mid 2000s like corny pop rock stuff, like literally on the Disney Channel. And like Hannah Montana, like I thought I would be a teen pop sensation, personally.
Oh, right. Yeah.
As we all do.
That's funny.
So, yeah, I don't know. A lot of influences there. I think it comes together, and it's, like, really, like,
yeah,
just, like, a fun, like, high-energy song. It's also, like, people treat it like it's a bad thing when songs are long, but I like the fact that it's, like, 4.5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
hell yeah. Long.
Most of our songs are, like, pretty long. I don't know how they get that.
I mean,
long.
They're not, like, long. They're not, like, 7 minutes. But, like, we do a lot of songs in, like, the 3.5 to 5 minute range. Just because it's, like, we like to do, like, songs that develop, you know, that take you on a journey.
Yeah, I really, I feel, and we'll get to probably a little bit more with the, like, the other stuff you guys have done, like, the EP and stuff later. But, like, mm-hmm. I really like when a song feels like it kind of, it, like, develops and goes somewhere. It's like a whole last journey instead of, and I appreciate and respect when a band wants to do, like, a 1.5 minute, 2 minute, like, punk little something. I get that. I'm all for that. But, like, I really do appreciate when a song can be, like, 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes. Like, really have a start, have a middle, and have an ending. It's really satisfying.
Long enough to be interesting, but not long enough that it's, like, okay, now I'm tired. You
exactly.
Know?
Yeah, like, skip. But we worked really hard. I feel like each EP we've done, we've, like, worked harder and harder for each EP. Like, taken more time for each EP. And this one, obviously, because there's, like, a lot more songs, but I feel like we were really thorough with what we wanted, because this is, like, something that, these are songs that we wrote, like, all on our own. Mm-hmm. For like the second time, kind of, and
yeah, because the first EP we were still writing with our old drummer's dad, who was like kind of teaching the band how to be a band.
Sure.
And then the second one, it was like kind of the first time writing really without much of his input, just like a little bit on the side, but like, you know, it was mostly us. And that was also the first time that we were writing with me in the band, because like I recorded on the first EP, but the songs were already written. Like I added stuff, but it was just like they were already like the songs were there. And so like Not Your Kind was like first time with my input and without Brad, Kelsey's dad's input.
Sure.
And then this time it was like now we're like, you know, adults finally, because like last time it's like Shelby and I were what, like 18, 19?
Yeah.
And so it's like now it's like, okay, we're finally like adults and we know what we're doing, because we've done it like a while. Because the first one was definitely like just totally like learning experience, honestly.
Yeah, like sure. We got in there, like, tried to get out.
We didn't. We only got to record that first EP because we won a fucking like Reverb Nation sweepstakes for some free studio.
That's so dope.
No, yeah, that's literally what happened. It was crazy.
And so this was our first big girl studio, like spending all like you know, bunch of fucking money. And it was expensive, but it was totally worth it.
Yeah.
I think it really shows. Like, I think the production of playing the game was just like fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, it really like, just, is.
We got to work with kind of a dream team on that because, like, our engineer Alex at Sonic Wire was like really hands on in the studio. Like, very like the engineer that we worked with for the previous two EPs. He wasn't like not there, but he was, you know, just kind of like.
Yeah.
Just micing stuff up, not really like having that much of a creative role, but Alex definitely kind of took more of a like, oh, I have an idea for what might make that mesh really well with the other layers or whatever. And we had all these like demos and stuff with all like a bajillion layers. And he's like, all right, here's how I think like we can make that feel like really coherent so that when it goes into the mixing process, it's not like this giant mess.
Sure.
He had, like the coffee cup that says, let's fix it in pre, you know, because it's like you wait until post to fix everything. It's going to be a real, real bummer.
I feel like that was nice because it's like, yeah, we know kind of what we're doing, but at the same time, it's always nice to have somebody's input
who's been
doing the game for a minute.
Because we like know how we're like what we're doing like compositionally, but it's like as far as like engineering and production and stuff, it's like we really kind of appreciated not just like the guidance, but also like there was some stuff where it was like it was really like in the moment we were like really felt. Like we were bringing it to life in the studio rather than just like making a better version of the demo. It's like, no, this is like a whole new animal now, you know?
Absolutely.
And then Reed Wolcott from We Are the Union mixed it and she did an amazing job.
Oh, that rocks.
Yeah, she really did.
Yeah, I love Reed. She's done a lot of really good work and I'm really excited to share the rest of the songs that she's mixed because. Well, I remember when we got it, like, literally, we were, like, in the group chat. We were texting about, like, damn, this is, like, getting me emotional. Because, like, we, like, I've never heard of us like that, you know?
Yeah, it was good.
Hell yeah. Absolutely. I don't know. I think you really feel, you hear all of that, at least in the song. For, you know, from what we've heard so far, obviously, stoked to hear the rest of it. But, like, with the game specifically, like, even just the, like Robin said, the production of it, it sounds really slick, but like it sounds very put together. It sounds like I don't know. It sounds like a band who's really, really found what their I don't want to say niche necessarily, but like cutting out that path themselves and like really know what that sound should be.
Yeah, we got that identity going now.
Absolutely, rather than just
like I feel like on the older stuff, it's like we're still trying to like just throw shit at the wall, see what works. I feel like now it's like we kind of know who we are.
Right.
It's fun.
Yeah, and like, hey, speaking of fun, the damn music video is a lot of fun.
Yes! I mean, that's the other part of the dream team. William from Glass Beach did an amazing job on that music video.
Oh, that's incredible. I should have known. That's incredible.
Yeah. William was super nice, super fun to work with. Had like, you know, we had like a lot of ideas for the music video that was just like, we really wanted to have a lot of visual gags and just be like very like loud and like bombastic and just
definitely.
Kind of jump out at you. Cause like we've done like previous music videos, but it's all like performance stuff and like, you know, like little like fake stage like stuff that we did in Shelby's Garage for the, you know, video.
Sure.
Like, or one of them was like recorded like live at a like a festival. For Mike and Tacoma. So it's like, but this is the first time we were like, okay, let's do like a concept, like where it's like something's actually happening. There's a narrative and there's all these things going on and you can watch it over and over again and notice new things like, oh, Tana's bass amp is a Game Boy. And those beach balls are Kirby and whatever. Yep. And there's a Pac-Man on my amp and whatever, you know, like all those like little details. It's just like, I feel like it just adds a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we had like a lot of just like gags and shit that we wanted to do. And William was really good at like kind of parsing all of our messy ideas and being like, all right, here's how we can like storyboard and lay this out so that we can structure it into our very limited filming time because we only had 1 week to do it. Kelsey flew out to be in it.
Oh, that's incredible.
Tara was in it too, but in the crowd. and then like we had a bunch of friends. We had to get like just like all the homies in it.
Yeah.
With like props and costumes and whatever. Some people had their own.
I was going to ask like what the ratio of their own costume that they bring versus like how many you got to provide to people. Like, I don't know how much you have to provide.
We want a good few. I mean, so the ones that had like a central role, like Mario and Mario. Yeah, we bought Mario and we bought Minecraft Steve and for Mad Gag and Peach. Luigi, that was this cosplayer called Peppered Up Cosplays, aka Ribbon, who has done like Luigi, like sexy Luigi. It's called Playboy Luigi on TikTok.
We love sexy Luigi.
All these like Luigi thirst traps on TikTok. And I was like, you have to be in the video. You have to be in it, please.
Yeah. She had her own costume, and a lot of other people, I was surprised at how many people.
Yeah, a lot of people had their own costumes, which was really nice, and even the ones, some of them didn't really have costumes, so we gave them, little, props and stuff, like the little Sim Diamond. The Sim Diamond, the 8-bit sunglasses. Wait, I think they brought their own for that, didn't they?
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But the little, 8-bit sunglasses, or the controller to control the Sims, that's what we... And so it's and we have all these and some people were instead of being a character, they would make up something that just looks like their own character from a hypothetical video game. Like our friend Sid was a goth clown with a baseball bat.
Hell
and,
yes.
Nice public domain Harley Quinn, right? You know?
Exactly, yeah.
But it's just when you put it all together, it just meshes so well and it fits. You know, and it's just
absolutely
a love
does.
Letter to the just yeah. all these crazy ass characters and whatever. It's so fun. And Shelby's little Donkey Kong tie. I just love all the little things that we put in there.
About the
FDG is the venue that we filmed at. They're super nice. We haven't played there in a minute. We should go. We gotta go back. It's the first venue we played at once live music came back. And they recorded us this whole live album for no cost, no charge.
I noticed that. I saw the live recording. That seemed insanely cool.
Yeah. They're awesome. I love that place.
Cool.
That rocks. Yeah.
They did that. They just did that as a gift because that was Kelsey's last show with us. So they were no charge. Here's your album. Go.
You can sell that. That's incredible. That rocks.
Recorded the whole thing for you. And we didn't even know. They told us at the end. So,
that's fun. Insanely sweet. Yeah, that's what you gotta get back to. It sounds like they rock.
Yeah. So if you live in the Orange County area or close enough to drive to it, yeah, go. Everybody listening, go to FTG. Go to some shows. They always have really cool bands there.
Actually, that's kind of a decent. You bring up something that I kind of wanted to ask about, and I don't know if I have the perfect way to phrase it, but I'm gonna try to do my best. I feel like, obviously, you guys are from, the West Coast out in, I think just all California, if I'm not wrong, but, definitely out on the West Coast. I feel like, specifically, at least in our little sphere, on Twitter and online, in the music, it's all very, people throw out the label Midwest a lot. And, I'm wondering, I don't know, what your feeling is. Do you feel like you have a place in that genre? Do you feel like... you do or don't? Do you feel like you fit some of those labels that people throw around sometimes or no? I guess just how do you feel about that whole thing? Not from being around there, because we're from Ohio. We are kind of ingrained into that. It's central to our identity as Midwesterners is emo music. So I don't know. I'm wondering if it feels any different from seemingly the outside, or is it even the outside?
I mean, that's the thing though, is our circle, especially on Twitter and whatever, it's so full of so many different sounding bands who all still play together and not just play together, but are also in each other's bands, which is so funny to me.
Yeah.
Cause I just saw Insiggy recently and it's everybody in Insiggy is in other bands that are completely different genres. The drummer's in For Your Health and so it's totally everybody is off doing their own thing, and then everybody just kind of conglomerates. And I really personally, I think most of my favorite bands right now, in the scene are East Coast and Midwest. And I've been really, we've all been wanting to get out there, you know, on the road. It's money issues preventing us from doing that lately, but but we've gotten to play as far as Texas out there, and it's it's always so cool to play new places. But there's so many bands on the East Coast and the Midwest. There's Vile in Minneapolis, and there's Safe Face in New Jersey and Pollyanna and Jiraiya in New York, fucking Pink Shift in Maryland, and we've met these people, and they're super nice too. So many bands in Philly, Riverbee and Mega Mango and all that. So it's there's so many absolutely lovely people where it's I know for a fact that if we, once we get the means to get out to the East Coast and the Midwest, and like we just hit these motherfuckers up, and we're gonna put on the best fucking tour of the goddamn century. Because yeah, I know, absolutely, I know all of these bands are like super nice and go hard. And they're going to be, you know, like, I'm just, like, so ready, you know, for that shit. Yeah. So we just got to get a new fucking, let's get some wheels. Get some fucking wheels. But as far as, like, genre, it's, like, that's kind of, like, the whole thing with Fifth Wave. It's, like, nobody gives a shit, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, Glass Beach does not sound like Home Is Where. Does not sound like Hey, I Love You. Does right. not sound like Thank You, I'm Sorry. You know, it's, like, everybody's doing their own fucking thing, and like that's like what the Fifth Wave is. It's like, hey, suddenly, like, what if emo didn't have to be like anything? You
yeah,
know?
True, very true.
It's just whatever the fuck. And so, like, that's one of the things that I find really liberating about that like aspect of the scene that I kind of feel like lacks in like the SoCal scene, because the SoCal scene is like very still like divided. Like, you can almost like see the lines like geographically of where it's like, okay, this place is going to be like mostly indie bands, and like this place is going to be like mostly like punk bands or really? Pop punk or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like it's changing a bit now, largely because venues keep closing down, so people kind of have to get forced into the same spaces. But especially when I started first going to shows, it's like, okay, this is where all of the indie bands play. And they're like not just indie bands, but like specifically like indie, like surfy punk kind of bands yeah. that sound like, you know, the Frights or whatever, or you know, like that kind of shit, like yeah. the Burger Records yeah. type bands that all got canceled 2 years ago.
Jesus,
but,
yeah.
But like you could see like literally like, okay, like this is where those bands play, and this is where like the hardcore bands play, and this is where the pop punk bands play. And like I mean, it was just like, even like flyers, I feel like, have gotten more homogenous, because it used to be like you could tell instantly what genre, like a mm-hmm. like a lineup was going to be by the flyer or whatever.
Just by the look of it.
And like you could also tell how bad the sound was going to be. I think everybody got way better at graphic design over the pandemic, but
yeah,
flyers for shows we used to play were so bad that literally I learned how to use Photoshop just because I was tired of us being on the worst flyers ever.
It's incredible.
I just taught myself how to make flyers because I'm like, you can't even read this shit.
That rocks. Yeah, fuck it, I'll do it myself.
Yeah, no, literally,
that rocks.
But yeah, I don't know. But it's a really nice scene still. It's just like, I feel like it's in a very weird, like, purgatory right now. It's like in this kind of limbo where you're trying to like, there's a lot of like, there's a few new venues popping up, and there's a lot of like older venues that are either closing or like on the verge of closing, and people are trying to save them. And like, all the venues that we used to play at, like especially the all ages venues that we used to play at in like 2016 through 2019, like most of those are gone.
Damn.
Yeah. And if they're not gone, a lot of them have like, you know, completely like changed. So like one of them called Malone's in Orange County, it's still around, but now it's called Stages, which I think is a weird name because all venues have stages. But
yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Malone's.
Hey, pretty upfront about what's there, though. Hey, you know what you're going to get.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just it's kind of a weird limbo, especially with, like, there's so much pay-to-play stuff, which I've been told is not much a thing on the East Coast or the Midwest, but, like, where, like, you have to sell X amount of tickets or you owe the venue money.
We usually don't do that.
Yeah, we don't do that.
Actually, like, when we started the band, Kelsey's dad, Brad, was very big on telling us, like, never do pay to play.
Yeah. I think we've only done it like a handful of times ever.
When we knew we could.
Yeah. Basically only when we knew for sure we were going to be able to sell the tickets. And also when it was like a deal where it's like, like after a certain point, we are keeping the money.
There,
like,
you go.
Yeah.
Like when we played at the Viper Room, that's the last time that we did it, I think, was the Viper Room last August. Right.
Yeah.
Which was, they gave us 50 tickets to sell, and we had to sell at least 25, and then everything after that first 25 we kept the money. So it's like we sold all our tickets, a little more than 50 I think actually, so we had like a little bit over, I think we had like, we made like 270 off of the ticket sales plus whatever we sold in merch, and it was us and Fangbaker and Q-Bomb all sold like all our tickets, so, and we were all like in a row on that lineup, so it was, yeah, it was pretty packed for like those three bands. this was also my first show with Loser Parade, and it was not packed with Loser Parade played because it was like 1 a.m. But I mean, Loser Parade still sold every ticket, but people did not stick around.
Yeah. That was the first time I saw Hoity Toity live.
Oh,
really? Wow. I think that was the first time I saw you.
Well, it would have had to be, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was not playing for Hoity Toity yet.
Yeah, we stole.
And I thought you guys kicked ass. So damn. Like, oh my god, instant fan.
Damn, I hope I can be in that band one day. Yoink!
Literally.
Love that. But that's incredible.
So like, but like other, you know, like other times, like we've played, there's a lot of venues that like, they do it a lot, but a lot of the times now that we've like, I mean, I wouldn't say we're necessarily like established because we're not like a big name, but
sure.
Like we're established in the sense that like, people know us and people like want us specifically on a lineup. We're not like just random. So it's like when people like want us specifically on a lineup, we don't have to do like the pay to play stuff. Like we have a show coming up with Glimmers from Georgia, and they wanted us on the bill. Like Common Ground, who manages them, like hit us up.
Very
so
nice.
Like we're not doing pay to play for that, even though it's Chain Reaction, where like a lot of bands would have to do that.
Oh, that's really
I think
cool.
The openers are still having to do that, which
well,
bummer for them. I've been telling people if they're buying tickets, like buy it from the opener so they don't lose money. But you know,
yeah, true. There you go.
Yeah,
I think the first time I heard about that like pay to play kind of shit was when I was in high school and I had a friend who was in like a. This was like 2009 and he was in a deathcore band and he just like kept asking me if I was coming to the show. And I found out that the reason why he kept like bugging me wasn't like, it wasn't like, hey, I really want you to come to the show. It's, hey, I really need to fucking sell these tickets because I'm not making any money off of this.
Yeah, it's like that.
Yeah.
And like, well, I just thought that was so fucked up.
Yeah. That's
yeah. Well, like, that's the thing also is like, I feel like a lot of promoters go out of their way to find bands that they know are not going to sell any tickets. Like they, like, cause like there's some bands that it's like they could sell it, you know, and you could have a really big crowd and whatever. But most shows that I see that like are like, especially like local shows where it's like all local bands on the lineup, there's no like bigger headliner or no touring band or anything like that. It's like every band on the lineup is like a band that has like 35 followers and they've only played 2 shows ever and they're so excited to be here at like their first real venue. And it's like, I just know, like, they're looking for these fucking bands, like, on purpose. Because
yeah,
like,
100%.
These are people who, like, they don't realize that they're getting ripped off, you know?
Yeah, literally. Oh, we only have to pay $60 this time. This is pretty good for us.
Yeah, they'll pay up front because they're like, well, you know, it's a big venue where they have big bands. So people will be there because it's, you know, and then they play the show and nobody's there because none of the bands sold the tickets. And they realize, like, oh, we kind of didn't get the best deal, did we? You know, it's like, why did we pay $250 to play to nobody except the other bands?
Yeah.
You know, so that's why it's like, you know, we've only ever done it when we knew that like not only us, but also other bands on the lineup were like actually going to sell the tickets and bring people and make some money.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you do it, I mean, when it works, it works. It's just, I think it's a predatory business model by design.
Yeah, I guess.
You
know? I feel like people are paying more attention to that shit nowadays anyway. So we're getting there. Yeah. Like people are more like. Even just the common person is like fuck merch cuts at this point. So,
oh yeah,
like it's that. Also, you know, I mean, we're getting somewhere.
It's also nice that we've just gotten to the point, like kind of just barely, but we've just gotten to the point where like we've stopped saying no, we stopped saying yes to every show. We used to say yes to literally every show,
of course,
and now we're like finally being selective about like where we play and when, and it's like because we realized like oh we don't have to like worry that there's not going to be another show offer, like
right. <you know? laughs>
Like worst case scenario, it's like, hey, maybe next time. But like, you know, if they want us, you know, give us a reason, you know, better lineup or, you know, whatever. But people are usually, you know, I think most of the people that we've been working with, especially like coming out of the pandemic, like most of the people that we've worked with have been really nice and really flexible and all of that. And just like, I feel like there was a little more, I don't know, exhaustion, like. Before the pandemic, and now it's like I think to some extent people are just like happy to be fucking back because even like even now, like 2 years, you know, into having live music again, it's like a lot of bands, it's like their first tour back or like, you know, like their first time back on the West Coast because they've been on like, you know, the East Coast or whatever, like, or first, you know, new release and whatever, like it's still like kind of still in the stages of coming back, you know?
Sure, absolutely.
And so, like, we can kind of feel like a bit of camaraderie. And also, like, it's nice knowing all these bands that we met online while everything was online. Like, we just played with Cheekface at the Troubadour. We played with them in 2020 on, like, a live stream for The Alternative, and they did, like, an acoustic set. Yeah, you don't remember that? It was us and them and Cliff Diver, and they did the acoustic Creed medley. With arms wide open.
Fuck yes, dude.
They did that one. Soup too. They fucking killed it. That's I love dope. Cliff Diver. Shout out to Cliffy.
Shout out to Cliff Diver. Friends of the show, Cliff Diver. Shout out to Cliff Diver.
Absolutely. They rock. Dude, Cliff Diver is so nice.
They are really nice.
They were the sweetest people I've ever met in my entire life. It's crazy.
I remember I was at the House of the Blues, and I was talking to Tori from Dollskin, and they were literally like, I wish I could just, like, put Cliff Diver in my pocket and take them home. They're so nice.
Literally.
Jacob, I got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I think it's about that time. All right.
Go piss, girl.
Robin usually got to do the little pee-pee break, so let's take five. Everybody take a five. We'll do a little quick ad read. We'll be right back, and then we'll come finish this shit off. But don't go away. We'll be right back. Hello again. It is me. It's Jacob. I'm on the episode and I'm in the ad break. Kind of a weird thing, but it's fine. It makes sense. You can tell it's different. There's music behind me. Hey, I don't remember what we decided to call it on this episode. Ad break, potty break, ad read, whatever. If you've listened to the show, you know by now that's not what this is. Just a little bit of time in the middle of the episode that we like to take to remind you all, the nice folks at home, that if you have questions, comments, concerns, want to get in touch with us, got anything you think we should hear, you can shoot it over in an email, ybigpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at ybigpodcast, on Instagram at yourbandisgarbage. Hey, I'm back on that platform now, so if you wanted to follow me on there, you can. I'm not gonna plug my personal here, but you can probably find it if you really wanted to. It's not that hard. I'm not that secret of a guy, so totally up to you. But yeah, that's really all I got. I just wanted to pop in, say hi to you folks. We'll get you back to the episode. I know we got a lot to get through. So thank you for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us. And on with the rest of the show. So because he's not here tonight, I don't mind explaining. Our friend and our third mic, he's not here, so I'm going to talk bad about him behind his back. But he, just in the group chat, it's just me and Robin and him in the group chat. Would either of you go to the zoo high with me and go into the kangaroo encounter exhibit? And
I would.
I said yes immediately, and Robin said no. And that's fucked up, I think.
Wow, what a bitch.
I think you got to do it.
I know how hard those motherfuckers can kick. Oh, fucking Robin's back. I don't want to die. Welcome back. I don't want to die.
They're not going to let you get killed by the kangaroos at the zoo.
If you die, that's a skill issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
They would shoot the kangaroo before they let it kill me. You know, the Cincinnati Zoo cannot
have another Harambe.
Are you fucking kidding? Of course you can. I can take a kangaroo in a fight.
No, I disagree. I think they look a lot tougher than they are a lot tougher than they look.
And I'm smarter than them. I'm a black belt. Did you know that?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Arya is a black belt.
I was a black belt 10 years ago, and I don't think that they take it away.
Yeah, you don't lose it, I don't think. It's not like you don't have to get your ID photo updated for your belt.
I got to go renew my black belt.
It expires.
But yeah, I haven't done it. I haven't done that shit in a decade.
Damn.
I decided I wasn't going to do martial arts anymore because I got a first degree black belt, and I was like, well, a normal person doesn't know how many degrees of black belt there are. And I feel like if you just say black belt, people are like, whoa, that's cool.
Yeah,
right?
once you've been to black belt, I feel like you're done. You're in post-game content at that point. That's on you.
Black belt, it's like, I don't know how many that's out of. Is that like second out of 150? You know, like, because if so, like, that's, you got a long ways to go. Yeah. But like, if you're a first degree black belt, hey, for all they know, maybe first degree is the highest one.
Yeah, exactly. Like murder. And actually, as soon as I said that, I realized I don't know if that's right. Murder, I think, is third degree the worst one?
Murder is the worst one. First degree murder is like you planned it out and you killed them and you wanted to kill them.
Okay, so that's the worst one.
Yeah.
Okay, so right. But so black belt murder. Okay, so we're good. We got it.
Third degree burn is the worst.
There we go.
Oh, what's the third degree burn? It goes through what?
That's when it like melts all your shit.
That's when it's really bad.
Are we recording again?
Never stopped. Never stopped.
Hey, all yep. right.
I think it's time to take it into our next little segment here. So the Worm Nation listeners at home will know that, you know, we've been chatting a lot about the fate of Twitter and how that's really the only platform that we've committed any amount of time to. So we actually just recorded an episode a little behind the scenes two nights ago, chatted with our new friend Kevin Cappy, a.k.a. Hummus Vacuum. And with that sort of death of Twitter potentially imminent, you know, we kind of asked him, how do we get famous on another platform like TikTok? Specifically TikTok, I guess.
Yeah, specifically
like,
TikTok, actually, because I need money.
What's the secret sauce for TikTok? Because we don't want to go in blind. We want to know what to expect. And everything that he said was like either something that we didn't have, like talent, or something that we didn't want to do.
Effort.
Like commenting on other people's videos and socializing. So I guess with the exception of getting really fucking good at playing the guitar, what is Hoity Toity's secret sauce for popping off on TikTok?
Weezer memes.
Honestly, everything's so stupid. Like, some things you think might get attention don't, and then other things that you think are ridiculous.
The less effort you put in, the more likely it's going to go viral. But only if you really hate it. If you upload something thinking this is the dumbest thing I've ever filmed, it's gonna get 100,000 at minimum. You know?
Okay,
that's really good news.
That is good to know.
Oh, people are gonna love this. It's probably gonna get like 5 views. You know, but here's the thing, right? If I was a podcaster, what I would do is I would have you guys. You would be recording on your phones. You would be recording your faces right now.
Sure.
And then the person on the other side would say something funny, or you would say something funny. And everybody would be laughing, and then you'd post that as a TikTok, like you'd cut it together and post that as a TikTok, and then people would be like, whoa, their podcast has funny people on it sometimes, maybe. The problem is, if people aren't funny, then it doesn't work.
Yeah, so that's going to be so one, that's one, yeah, one strike
do
on
do you
our
think
end,
that we are funny? Once, I guess the question.
No pressure, I'll take my answer off air. Thank you.
People on TikTok are very, like, easily amused by things, but it has to be, like, specific things that are, I don't know.
Well, like you were referencing the TikTok that I did to plug the single, that still has like under 10k views, which is a thing that only ever happens when we're plugging our actual music.
Yeah.
Because nobody cares about our fucking music. But the immediate like next TikTok is like at like 50,000. That's just like when we filmed Shelby, me and this guy Connor, who filled in on drums for us at a show we played in San Diego. We were just asking Shelby geography questions because she doesn't know geography, and we just posted that, and everybody, like, because it pisses people off, because people are like, how could you not know where bloody England is, right? Then so like 50,000 views.
Yeah.
And then the immediate next TikTok, which was literally at my birthday, I was like, I'm going to tell a fucking stupid dad joke and then put a cowboy hat on and then everybody's going to sing country. It was, they call me West Virginia because I'm always mountain mamas. And then I put the hat on and everybody starts singing country roll. And
I feel like it has to be like stupidly relatable.
Yeah. It has to be really dumb, but at the same time, it has to be like not dumb in a way that like happens by accident, you know?
Sure.
Like, yeah. It's kind of like a tweet, but then like there's a follow-up to the punchline. It's like a double punchline. Like, for example, like the ones where like I'm doing a fucking song but then it turns into Weezer. That's like a classic joke, because it's like, hey, you're not expecting it to be Weezer, ha ha ha, but also like the fact that a human being is performing it live on an instrument adds a factor of like, okay, somebody like actually tried, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I can't do this. This is cool.
Especially, I think the more the merrier in that regard. Like, our friend Pat from Not My Weekend has a couple videos that are like literally just like he's having a house party and he's like, all right, everybody, we're all gonna film a TikTok.
Yeah.
And like everybody's in it speaking in unison, which must have taken so long to get right. But like, I don't remember what the first one was. I think the first one was like everybody in unison talking about Shrek, but it's just like absurd because everybody is speaking in unison and it's like 30 people at the party.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I think I've seen that.
And then I told him, like, you should do one where it's like you're all a polycule and you're like, hey, we saw you from across the bar and we love your vibe, but it's like 20 people saying it at once. So we ended up doing that one too. He tagged me and I was like, thank God, because I was worried it wasn't going to happen.
That's
and
so good.
I did not want to go to the trouble of trying to make that TikTok myself.
Yeah.
I don't have 30 friends.
Knowing that it's a good idea, but not wanting to execute. See, that's. And I would say, honestly, that's a really good way to describe our issue with the platform. Because everything, and as good of advice that is, that all sounds like effort. Like, you mentioned, like, having to shred. Like, I will say, for what it's worth, as someone who is, like, not barely on the platform at all, my first exposure to you guys on TikTok was just the ones that are cross-posted to Twitter. So I was watching those whenever they come across the Twitter timeline. And the big takeaway from that was, are you fucking shreds? Like, that was my number one takeaway was just, like, God damn, that's insane. So I guess maybe that's part of it, but I can't do any of that. So
yeah, I think that's a big part of it, actually.
Well, here's the thing, though. I feel like a lot of the ones that have gone like super viral, especially like recently, like one of them was literally like, I'm on the mic and I'm like, let the bodies hit the floor, let the bodies hit the floor, let the bodies hit the floor, let the bodies hit that. And then I just played the riff from Say It Ain't So by Weezer. And it's like...
Yeah, that has 6.2 million plays.
Yeah, it's like that doesn't require you to be very good at guitar at all.
Like, what?
But at the same time, it's like you have to be an absolute lunatic to not only come up with that, but then to be the asshole who's like, hey, by the way, Tara, stay after practice real quick so we can film this TikTok that requires you to hit two hi-hats and a crash.
Yeah.
We did that today.
Yeah, we did it again today.
That's so good. That's incredible.
But yeah, I mean, it's that's the thing. It's like the joke is like no effort, but the actual execution is so much effort.
Right.
But it has to look like no effort every time too. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I noticed is consistent across like you guys and Robin mentioned like Cappy who does I wouldn't say like similar. Like Cappy also puts a lot of effort into the musical component of the TikToks, which I think is part of the success because that's so. It's like fascinating to watch, frankly.
Yeah.
Some people are really fucking talented on TikTok. We have so many musician mutuals, and so I'll just like constantly like see their stuff, and I'm just like, wow. Every talented musician is on TikTok. I don't even know how like what you like.
TikTok's
I'm literally like scrolling through, and I'm like, okay, yeah, this guy's better than me. Okay, yeah, she's better than me too. Okay, this person's great.
That's
like,
so
I'm
good.
Just like. Like, and everybody's like, oh, you're so good at guitar. And I'm like, okay, meet any of my TikTok mutuals. They're all insane. Stupid insane.
Fair.
And they'll be like, they'll be doing like shit like, one of them does like streams and he's like shredding like some crazy shit, but he's also like reading the comments like out loud. And I'm like, God damn, like I can't talk and play guitar. Are you kidding me?
Sure.
I've barely learned how to sing and play guitar.
But you're doing it. You're doing it real good. You're doing it real nice.
And he's just holding a conversation while just like shredding. And I'm just like, okay, yeah.
You just gotta practice. You can get there.
I don't have anybody to talk to.
Wow.
I don't have friends.
No.
I don't have friends.
No. Well, sweet. I think we are sort of, solid advice. I super appreciate that. I think we're winding down on our time. So I want to make sure we get to our last segment of the eve. There's just one more thing left to do. We got just one more thing to ask you. I'll fuck you up if you tell us the truth. What are you listening to now? It's
keep rolling, 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 rolling.
Well, and that could be an answer.
Go ahead.
That could be an answer.
But yeah, this is what are you listening to now? Just kind of what's been on repeat? What's in your Spotify recents? You know, what did you dish out a little money on Bandcamp for? Like, what do you have on rotation right now?
Tana, you go first. You like a lot of bands.
I always have Cleopatra. I always have Royal Blood. I always have, what is it, Boston Manor. I really love bands like that, new rock bands. I'm always listening to stuff like that.
What was that one you saw just recently with Dead Poets Society that you said was, like, shockingly good?
Broken Love.
Yeah.
They're pretty new. They're really good. They kind of blew Dead Poets Society away, basically.
Which, when Tana says that, that means something because she fucking loves Dead Poets Society.
Damn.
She's seen them more than any of us.
Yeah. They're good, though.
They're really good, yeah. Shelby,
was there more than just the one film?
Shut the fuck up.
That's a joke.
Shut up.
That's a joke.
In my mind, I'm strangling you like Homer strangles. All right, Shelby, what do you got?
So I'm like I've always really liked pop music. I'm a pop girl, like electronic. Obviously, I like a lot of other things, but I'm always listening to like Odessa. I do really like Taylor Swift.
Okay.
And I've also, since we've played with the Crawlers, I've been listening to them. They're really, really good.
The Crawlers.
Crawlers. Sorry.
Where are they from, Shelby? Where are they from?
They're from Europe.
No, but specifically. More specifically,
no,
the
I
country.
Forgot.
England?
Yes.
Yeah. England.
We finally got her to know what England is.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's really tough. Sometimes I'll be in a lull of like, I don't want to listen to music today, but then I'll go listen to like Journey or Celine Dion or something like that.
Sure.
What are we fucking covering?
No, what surprised me is that Aria likes some Celine Dion.
I fucking like that. I grew up on Celine Dion.
So out of her nature.
Can you touch me like this? There is nothing out of my nature.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, so I just like I do like a lot of things, but I'm always kind of drawn to more like kind of like pop music. I make a lot of pop melodies, so you know.
No, you should send some in the group chat.
Yeah, I know.
I've just been egging Shelby. I'm like, hey, you got any ideas you might want to send to the group chat?
Yeah.
You
wanna... should.
Sing something in the shower.
What do you like, Tara?
Oh boy, I'm all over the place, but recently I've been diving into the latest Pierce the Veil.
No.
Yeah, I just, like, you know how you kind of rediscover an artist that you used to listen to? Like, so I dove back into Pierce the Veil and a lot of My Chemical Romance, because I saw them live.
Yes.
And so I've just still been riding that high of seeing them live. Same. It's always been a dream, yeah.
Yeah, that lasts for a minute.
I've also been listening to Pierce the Veil, but not their new stuff. I don't like their new songs. I don't like their new music at all.
Damn. Yeah.
I feel like they're major downgrade.
I've been visiting like a lot of their old stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I listen to old music. Like, it's hard for me
to listen to Misadventures. I think like that's a really good album. And everybody hypes up Collide with the Sky, and I think that's also like obviously like a masterpiece. Fucking Selfish Machines is good. Misadventures kind of underrated. I don't know. People don't talk about it. I don't hear a lot of people talk about like Floral and Fading is a banger. That's like one of the best singles I think they have and Dive In. But I've been listening also a lot of MCR because I also saw them recently. Same day as Tara. We didn't go together, but we both saw them. And then what else? I've been listening to a lot of just like bands that we know, you know. So like, there's a new Pink Shift record, new Crawlers mixtape. I've been listening to a lot of Mega Mango from Philly. They're really cool. I'm trying to think, like, just like a lot of that kind of stuff. New Pollyanna, I guess it's not that new, but Pollyanna, and just like, you know, those kinds of bands. Q-Bomb has a new record, so I've been listening to a lot of just like bands that like are the homies, and I'm just like,
hell yeah,
I know these bitches. Like, I'll be listening in the car. And somebody will be like, what are you listening to? And I'm like, I know these bitches. I know them.
Oh, that's always so fun when someone, you get to like recommend a band to somebody and they'd be like, also, by the way, they're really cool because we're homies.
These are my friends.
We're friends.
No, it's so funny because like I had one friend who was like, I was like, oh, you should check out my friend's band. Like all the time, I'll always be like, oh, you should check out my friend's band. They have this newer song or whatever. I would send it and they'd be like, oh yeah, I'll check that out. And then they like wouldn't, you know? Mm-hmm. But I just always do that. And then like at one point they like finally like checked out like a bunch of the songs that I had recommended. They were like, yo, when you said like your friend's band, I thought it was going to be like some fucking rando.
Yeah.
Like, why is this like really like legit? And I'm like, what did I tell you?
Yeah, bitch? Why like, did I lie?
I'm not friends with lame-ass bands. I would not be.
Yeah. I'm friends with lame-ass bands, but only if they're really nice.
That's fair.
Shout out Loser Parade. Shout out Andrew. No, Loser Parade is bringing it back. We're bringing it back with a vengeance.
Fucking, I don't know what you're talking
about. No, we always joke about, like, oh, the band sucks, because it's called Loser Parade, so you have to. But, like, I feel like genuinely, like that whole, like, band, like, we've just been, like, totally reinventing shit. So, like, we're planning on recording, like, a new EP, and we're bringing all that shit out. Hoity Toity's also got some new music coming out, but that's already recorded, you know. But, yeah, Loser Parade, back with a vengeance. Figuring our shit out.
Hell yeah. You love to be figuring shit out again. Always fun to go back to the drawing board.
It's always nice with a band when you're just like, oh, hey, we actually are, like, noticeably better than we used to be.
Yep.
Huh, that's fun.
Always a treat.
It happens every few months, I think.
Yeah.
We'll practice more than once a week.
Yeah. Or, like, when we have, like, a bunch of shows in a row, then by the end of the string, we're just like, oh, hey, we're, like, really good at music, aren't we?
Yeah. Man, we fucking rock.
No, literally, sometimes we play a show, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, I forgot, like, why we do this.
Oh, yeah, be like.
Yep. Robin, anything on your, like, I mean, we just recorded one, I know, recently, so I don't know if anything changed for you, but, like, what's in the now playing for you? What are you listening to? Anything changes?
You know, I had my Apple Music pulled up to see, like, if there was anything that I'd been listening to.
No,
I still have it open. I'm just frankly embarrassed by what I've been listening
to.
Now
you have
to
say what it is.
Just, like, stuff that I listened to in high school. You got nu metal and, like,
the shit that,
like, Disturbed.
Is definitely more embarrassing.
All
I would doubt that.
This is a standoff.
You're telling us Disturbed.
I love Disturbed.
Yeah. Disturbed, Limp Bizkit, the classics.
Limp Bizkit.
Oh my god. That was like 4 or 5 attempts.
I want us to cover some Limp Bizkit so bad. We did like a fake out cover of it the first time we played Dead by MCR, which we covered live. The first time we did it, we did a little fake out where we did like the first verse of Break Stuff, and then we went back into the real cover.
Oh my god, is this video online somewhere? I need to hear that.
Yeah, it's on our TikTok somewhere. I can
for it.
But yeah, it's like, literally, I want to bring that back, but I also want to, like, do an actual Limp Bizkit cover at some point.
Hell yeah.
We did Slipknot once.
Yeah, we did Slipknot.
We did Slip Thought. It was Slutty Slipknot.
Oh, hell yes.
Oh, hell yeah.
We did Duality.
Damn.
That's a banger.
I fucking love nu metal.
But yeah, just nu metal and, for some reason, Beartooth. I don't know.
Beartooth fucks.
Beartooth's good. I like them. I showed them to a friend yesterday, and they had so many of those, like, ooh moments. You know, when you're, like, in the car, and you're, like, anxiously looking over to see if the person that's, like, listening with you is enjoying it, and then they just, like, give you that look of just, like, what was that? And you just that, like, warmth comes over you of, like, oh, okay, it worked.
Yep.
Especially their first album. Like, not to be, like, the asshole who's like, oh, their first album, but, you know, like,
oh, you're right.
I mean, 100%.
Really, no, you're correct.
Fucking good. Like, I remember, like, listening to that for the first time, like, in high school, and I was just like, god damn, this is the shit, you know?
Some shit.
Yep.
What, absolutely, one of the bands with all, like, some of the best mosh calls of all time.
Oh, for sure.
You, but I'm admitting now that I have a problem.
And just such a way with breakdowns too. Like, you always know when it's a Beartooth breakdown. It just has, like, just like a specific kind of stank to it that, like, no other breakdowns do.
Yep.
Ugh, good stuff.
I feel like Every Time I Die kind of has that a little too.
I'd agree with that.
True. R.I.P.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the damn program today. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on. It was awesome. It was fun. Does anybody have any last words that you just want to just kind of, like, shout out as the outro music fades in?
Yeah,
and don't worry, we'll have plugs and everything at the end for you.
We'll do
you,
plugs, so don't feel like you have to, like,
Thomas
list every
Edison's last words were, "It's very beautiful over there."
Is that true?
Yeah.
That's really nice. That's like a really pleasant way. That's a really pleasant thing to learn. I thought his last words were going to be like, "Oh, fuck, I'm dying." No. That'd probably be mine.
Ah, fuck, I'm dying.
Thank you so, so much, as always, to our new friends in Hoity Toity. They're great people. They make great music. Definitely make sure to send them some love. Their new single, Playing the Game, is out right now. We talked about that. Along with the excellent music video that we talked about. The link is going to be in the show notes, so make sure to give that a watch. You can follow the whole gang over on Twitter at @WeAreHoityToity. On Insta, Facebook, and TikTok at @HoityToityOfficial. Keep an eye out for some new music on the horizon. We'll definitely signal boost it when it happens, but keep an eye on the skies, as they say. I don't know if that's what people say. If you like what we're doing over here, you can write into the show. It's ybigpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at @ybigpodcast, on Instagram at @yourbandisgarbage. If you like the show, you can throw us a 5-star rating on Spotify and iTunes. It would certainly help us out. We'd much appreciate you. Music for Your Band is Garbage is courtesy of Hey, I Love You, Derek Christensen, and Leave Nelson B.